Why How We Read Matters. Many kids think that reading is simply a skill, but it really is so much more than that. Got some folks to help us understand what we're talking about. It's a new book entitled Disrupting Thinking. Why How We Read Matters. We've got some literacy educators. We've got Kylene Beers joining us, and also Robert Probst. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well,
good morning.
Let's get into the...
You probably should call me Bob. I'm only Robert when my mother is angry at me.
Okay, all right. Well, your mom probably gave you some good reading skills in the early days, right? So you get time to do some reading, Robert. So, but Bob, let's get into the reason. We know that when kids start learning to read, I mean, it's, we get to sort of reading how we read. So then it becomes sort of interpreting, understanding it a little bit. How does your book or what are you talking about take it even further than that? What skills are the kids missing?
Well, Bruce, we think that one of the things that kids are missing is developing the habit of mind that says to them that reading in some way ought to change them. That too many times in schools, what's happening is kids are learning to extract information from a text, and what we want them actually doing is learn to interact with that text, learn to pull something from that text so that reading becomes meaningful to them.
And if they are only extracting from a text, they can't make the decision about whether the text is worth extracting from or not unless they become vulnerable to less than ethical, less than honest texts that they may hear.
Exactly what do you mean by extracting from the text? Can you expound on that?
Yeah, Bruce, you know, I bet you can remember being back in school as a kid and you have the 10 questions to answer at the end of the chapter in your social studies book or your science book or your even your literature reading book, and all you had to do was kind of look at those questions, and even if you didn't understand them, you could turn back in the book and find the phrase that matched what was in the question and just pull out that information. That's what we mean by extracting, where you're just taking information out of the book, putting it onto a worksheet or a sheet of paper, or raising your hand and telling the teacher the answer. But it's not really percolating in your mind. It's not really resonating in your heart. And it's certainly not really giving you something that would help you say, gosh, how is this going to change how I see the world or see myself in the world?
So what advice do you have for children, young adults, to read more effectively?
Well, go ahead, Bob.
I think that the critical element is that we make sure those kids are engaged with the texts, that we give them texts that will awaken responses, and we teach them to pay attention to those responses. They may like a text or hate it. They may agree with it or disagree with it. But if they begin with the way the text has touched them, then they can question it and talk about it, talk with their teachers and other students, and it's in the process of that talking and thinking that they make sense out of the text and out of their world.
You know, Bruce, we were in a lot of classrooms as we were writing this book, and one of the things we noticed is that if we simply stopped and said to kids, so what did the book say? Because we always want kids thinking about what the author has put into the book. We don't want kids not to do that. And then move to, and what does that make you think, which is now pulling that information into their own heads. So they're thinking about how this reminds them of another book or how this reminds them of an experience or how they would compare this to something they had read just yesterday or last year. And then take it one step beyond that and say, and now what is it you want to take to heart? That's when we notice that kids kind of set up straight and looked at us. And we had a group of eighth grade boys up in Brooklyn who actually said to the teacher at the end of the conversation, and these were eighth grade boys, and they said, boy, the part we liked best was when we talked about what did we want to take to heart. And one boy said, we don't ever do heart reading. He said, I like that. And we were kind of sitting at the back of the room holding our breath, wondering what were these, you know, big eighth grade boys going to say about asking them to think about what did they take to heart. They were reading a piece of nonfiction about refugees in Afghanistan. So at that point, we knew we had found something that was critically important in our schools, that we look at what's in the book, what's in our heads, but also we take to heart. Because in this nation, we've done a great job of creating, or we're doing a good job of creating school time readers. What Bob and I want to do is go the next step and actually create lifetime readers. Because if we want literacy to be a way of living for kids their entire life, then they can't go to school just to learn how to take a test. They have to go to school to learn how to let reading change who they are.
One of the things you address here is related to fake news, which is sort of taking kids out of the classroom because it deals with things that are happening worldwide and the general public is consuming some of this. What are your thoughts on this, and how does your technique or ideals kind of combat that?
Well, I think the existence of fake news is a strong indicator of the need for teaching kids to read carefully and thoughtfully. If the reader is responsive, he reads fake news and says to himself, either this sounds unreasonable, or my gosh, this is something that I passionately agree with. And either one of those responses should drive the reader to think more carefully about it. We're easily taken in by things that are too consistent with the preconceptions that we have. We need to learn to question them. And fake news makes that quite clear. Satire is based upon the notion that the reader is going to be smart enough to see through the exaggerated, sometimes absurd claims it makes. Fake news is predicated upon the notion that the reader is going to be gullible and stupid enough to be taken in by the exaggerations and the absurd claims. And the reader has to be trained not just to extract from the document, but to think about it, to analyze it, to reflect on it.
So, Bruce, one of the things we do in disrupting thinking is just teach kids three questions that parents can go over with kids or teachers can go over with kids when they're confronted with news, which is simply to say, how does it look? What does it say, and how does it make me feel? Because any news story that makes us feel too self-righteous or too smug or too angry probably is worth us looking at closer to say, could this indeed perhaps be fake? When we teach kids those simple techniques, they can begin to be, as Bob was saying, more responsive and more responsible to the reading. You know, the problem with fake news is we all have this little button on our mobile devices or our computers that says share. And it's not just that we're taken in by the fake news, but we share it, and that person shares it, and that person shares it. And that snowball gets harder and harder to take apart.
It's like the old urban legends, where it's the friend of a friend. It's like you don't know the exact real, you know, source of this, but it just gets passed on.
Or what was that game we used to play, telephone,
right,
where you whisper something into someone's ear, and as it goes on down the line, that urban legend becomes bigger and bigger. And, you know, now the ramifications of sharing that isn't just around the campfire, the story growing and growing, but it's around the world. And
Bruce,
so I think that we've got to make sure we're talking to kids about responsible and responsive reading. And that, of course, means giving kids some real instruction on how to look at news that they find usually on social media to help them understand when it's fake and when it's real.
Bruce, media studies used to say that by the time a message got passed along to the third or fourth person, you could expect it to be about 4 or 5% accurate. Now when it gets passed on to the 400,000th person, I have no idea how inaccurate it may be.
Right.
You know, Bruce, when we wrote Disrupting Thinking, what we were trying to do was remind kids that when they go into a text, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, something ought to happen to their thinking. And that something actually eventually ought to help change them. Sometimes it's going to be in a small way, and sometimes it may be in a profound way. But that's what really supports the premise of disrupting thinking. It's that reading is a change maker, and that throughout your entire life, reading can be a part of what helps change you.
Well, that's almost the appeal of reading. That's why we do it. That's why we pick up different things, whether it's a fiction book or some historical novel. We do that because we like sometimes the change that takes place after reading a book.
Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't like it. You know, sometimes I've read something and I've thought, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. Right. And now I need to change whatever behavior it is. You know, that happens to me more when I'm reading nonfiction and discover that no one really is actually going to say that chocolate malt is good for me.
Right.
So, you know, I'll have to begin to change if I want to be open and responsive to that text.
Again, the book go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
Well, sorry. I was just going to say that I think that what happens is too many kids go through school thinking that the reason they learn to read is to do better on a test. And we want kids to do well on a test, but we actually want them to learn that the reason they learn to read is so they can become better, just become better people. And if that's what we can teach kids, then I think that we'll have a nation of readers, and that's what disrupting thinking is really all about.
And it's called Disrupting Thinking, Why How We Read Matters. Our guest today, Kyleen Beers and Bob Prost, we appreciate your time this morning. If people want to find out more about this book or all the things that you're working on, where's a good place to get some more information?
Scholastic.com/disruptingthinking.
That was very much. Thank you both for joining me this morning. Thank you.